as you can imagine, the Lord has been dealing with me, amen? And he's been dealing with me so that you can benefit from it, amen? Hallelujah. It's something to talk about the mysteries of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to be up, down, down there, up here, all kinds of things. It's completely not normal, completely improper preaching etiquette. We're just going to have some conversation. Is that all right? Well, I'm going to teach today. My first area of calling was that of teaching, not of preaching. And so it takes me a minute to get back in the swing of things. Amen? Amen. But we're going to teach today. Are you guys excited about that? How many people love learning? Yes. It was like, I'll raise my hand just because I'm the only one not raising my hand. Amen. You know, but sometimes it's necessary that we learn some things. Other times it's necessary that we check our foundations. Anytime God is getting ready to add something to you, whether it's adding another calling, adding a ministry, adding a promise, he has to build upon a foundation. Is that correct? So if you've been asking God, God, I want more. How many people, by show of hands, have been praying a prayer sometime in the past, I don't know, 3 months that says, God, I just need more of you? How many people, okay, put your hands down. How many people have said, if you didn't say that, how many people said, I just need something different? Anybody pray that prayer? I just need something different. Good, good, good. So now all of a sudden, here you are in this place at this time today, and God has something different in store for you. And what it takes is we have to go back and we're going to go through the basics of Christianity. I know it sounds weird, but can we just check our foundations? Because you don't want to keep adding on building. I don't know anything about construction, anybody in construction, but I know if you keep putting layers and stories on top of a foundation that has a crack in it, that something bad is going to happen. Nobody's in construction. Can anybody get an amen? Amen, brother. Thank you. I'm like, anybody know? Maybe I made this up, but it's the truth. So some of us will be checking our foundations. Others of us will be learning. And at the end of it, I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is going to move. Because you cannot talk about the Spirit of God with sincerity and truth and he not move. It just doesn't happen. I'm not here to tickle your funny bone. I'm not here to give you, as the writer, Paul said, I'm not here to give you words excellence and persuasive words. I'm here to demonstrate in truth and in power in the name of Jesus. Amen? So we'll have a good time, but we're gonna go on a journey. Is that all right? Are y'all ready to go on a journey? We're pretty much going to hit from Genesis to Revelation. Now, I don't know if we can get all the way to Revelation because that's some heavy stuff. But we're going to get just about to it, you know, that last, you know, I don't know, what is that, James? I don't know. Read your Bible. It's one of them scriptures that comes right before Revelation. Amen? Amen. Okay, so water, wind, and the Spirit of God. Water, wind, and the Spirit of God. I want us to go to Mark chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Excuse me. I am so sorry. That was so rude. I forgot this thing is right here on my mouth. As you guys are flipping, flipping. All right. Mark 1, verse 8. Amen? Amen. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the what? Holy Ghost. Come on, say it one more time. With the what?
Holy Ghost.
Just say Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Because sometimes we say Holy Spirit. Sometimes we say presence. And those are all great, but it's every once in a while, I just don't want to be proper. I just want to say Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Now let's take a look at this scripture. What's happening here? Jesus, the Son of God, all right, came in bodily form, all right, took on earth in corruption, having no sin in him, born of a virgin. Her name was?
Mary.
Good. All right. He came, lived, grew. All right. Then he decided, it's time for me to start in ministry. All right. Began to gather disciples. Read up to John, which is actually his cousin, right? And John was baptizing people saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, John was a Jew, okay? And Jews had traditions of tabernacles and all that kind of stuff. But here John is out in the wilderness looking like a crazy man, you know, eating locusts and got animal fur on. And I mean, he's probably, if you want to talk about a fanatic, this man is a fanatic. Hello. He's the equivalent of long skirts. Hey, man. And the doilies on their heads with the long train in the back. Oh, y'all too modern. Y'all don't remember those days. Amen. The wood floors creaking and the tarrying in the middle of the night. Oh, you guys, you don't know about that. You don't know. But here, John the Baptist, he is a fanatic. He's out there roughing it, telling people, repent, repent, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is coming. And he's like, everybody is coming to repent. And they're coming to be baptized. And so here comes Jesus. Now it's his turn. He wants to be baptized. And why is he doing this? Because it was the custom. Number one, he is the kingdom of God that is coming. Amen. So he's coming and Jesus says, all right, John, baptize me. So John puts him in the water. He puts him down. As soon as he comes up, straightway, the scripture says, what happened? Huh? He saw the heavens open. Remember that, because we're going to come back to that. He saw the heavens open and the Spirit, like a dove, descended upon him. Now, the concept of water baptism can be somewhat elusive. It's pretty much like the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people get him all mixed up. As a matter of fact, it's hard to teach on the Holy Spirit because there's so many misconceptions about him. But here, Jesus is being baptized and the whole heavens open up and the Spirit of the Lord descends upon him like a dove. All right? So he's being baptized. What is water baptism? What does it mean to be baptized? All right, just some basic stuff. Initially, we all know that the word baptism in English is just to immerse something in water. Am I correct? Now, have anybody ever wondered where in the world did they get the idea of baptizing folk? I mean, where did this come from? Maybe you've never asked the question, but I've asked the question. And some scholars say that, you know, it's because the priests, when they were doing their rituals in the tabernacle, they had to wash their hands and literally bathe before they offered the next sacrifice after dealing with the altar of sacrifice. So they said, well, maybe the water baptism came from that. It came from the priests washing and cleansing themselves at the brazen laver and all that kind of stuff. Extra information, all right? But maybe it came from just cleansing. But I would like for us to take a look at the scripture, at the word of God, and let's see where baptism really came from. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Say amen when you are there. Amen. If you're not there, it's a big screen right there. Don't even worry about it. We all can say amen. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, that's a hard word to say, from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so, verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together in one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters he called seas with an S. That's a good note for later. And God saw it that it was what? Good. Look at Genesis 1 verse 14. Go down to verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Stop right there. Are you guys seeing what's happening here? Here God is in the beginning of the earth. He is forming earth. He's creating what was nothing at first. It was just a form, a void mass of land and water. And it was dark and it was no light to it. And he commands the mass of water and earth and darkness and void. He speaks to it and he commands it. He says, let there be a firmament. And everybody says, amen. What is a firmament? What is a firmament? Well, the word initially means an expanse. Everybody say expanse. It means an expanse. It means that there's some space in between the two. And not just random nothing space, but it has to be a kind of space that would push and support two different things. It has to push it in place. So here, Jack, can we go to that image? Thank you, sir. Here we'll see what God is really talking about. He says, I want to create a firmament. So the whole earth is covered with water, all right? North Pole, South Pole, East, West, everybody, everything is water. And then God speaks to the water. He says, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water. So what he's saying is, let there be some space in between the waters in the heavens and the waters on the earth. Can you see that? So here's an image of that. Now, the firmament is the space. Now, it includes the earth's atmosphere, the outer space, where the stars, because we saw in verse 14, they put stars and he put stars and suns and all of that in the firmament. Is that correct? Huh? Somebody say amen. Oh, okay. So the firmament is the space in between the sea, the layer of water above space, and the layer of water that's on the what? Earth. All right? That's the firmament. Are you seeing that? You're like, what? This is interesting stuff. This is how we got here. Okay? And then God speaks to the firmament, or he speaks to the earth, right? So now the earth, the bottom layer of the earth is covered with water. The earth's surface is covered with water. Then you have the firmament, and above the firmament is water. If I were you, I would even start watching CNN, because eventually some scientist is going to say, we believe that there might be some water in the distant far galaxies beyond 300,000, light years away. But watch that kind of stuff, because it happens. It happens, because the word of God is always true. So here, the whole earth is covered with water. Now, can you see this? God then speaks to the water that's on the surface of the earth in Genesis. Hello? And he tells the land that's under the water to come up. He says there's water. He speaks to the land that's on this earth, the earth's surface, under the water, right? And he tells the land to come up. And he calls that dry land what? Earth. So here's the water on the surface. Okay, we already said there's water up there, but that's not our point right now. There's water on the surface. The whole earth is covered in it. And he speaks to the dry land, to the land that's underneath the water, and he calls it forth, and it comes up. What does he use that earth for? How was man created? He took the dust of the earth. So here right now, we have the first example of water baptism. When the entire earth was immersed in water, and from that water, dry land rose up. And from that dry land, he took the dust of it, molded man, and blew into it. The first example of water baptism happened in Genesis. Can somebody say amen? Amen, 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 amen. Now, I know you're probably thinking, yeah, that's really good, but that's so far. It's just so far from my comprehension. And that happens sometimes. But let's bring it a little bit closer. Everything that happens in the heavenly realm, everything that happens in the spiritual realm, all right, it often resembles what we see here on earth. Right? It does. When a baby is born, as Pastor Conan talked about on last Sunday, he said when a baby comes out and, the stuff and is all bloody and watery, okay, that's the part I need to get to, is the water part, okay? The baby comes out and water comes out first, right? Why does water come out? Why? Because that child is completely surrounded by what?
Water.
Just like the earth is completely what? Surrounded by what?
Water.
That's why we say that the whole earth groans. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute. So Jesus, and so God said, let there be lights in the firmament, and he created this space. Now, the concept of water baptism, I want to display it here, if you guys will allow me to. The concept of water baptism can be elusive sometimes. Sometimes we have an idea, but I wanted us to really talk about water baptism for just a moment. Amen? And what the concept of baptism really is. There was a poet named Nicandon, I believe that's his name. Let me make sure I have that right, in case you want to look it up. Nicander, all right? Now, Nicander gave the first example of how we should understand baptism. He was a poet in 200 B.C. And here we are looking at the New Testament baptism. And Nicander, because sometimes when you translate the word baptize, like when we were looking at in Mark, he said, here comes one that will baptize you in the Holy Ghost. I baptize you in water, but there is coming one that will baptize you in the Holy Ghost, right? So that word baptize, it means something, okay? So sometimes when you translate a word from its original text, we may miss some of the meaning because we always ascribe to it what we think it means, what it means to us. To us in English, baptism means to immerse. Period. Okay. But Nicander, who was writing before Jesus ever hit the scene, all right, he wrote that the word baptism, he defined it, and he used this example about pickling vegetables. Okay. About pickling vegetables. He said, first of all, he said, in order to make a pickle,
All right. To make a pickle, you need a cucumber. Amen. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, something green. Okay. But you need a cucumber, right? And you take that cucumber. And he said, now, the objective to pickling a cucumber or making a cucumber a pickle, Peter Piper pick, anyway, is to take the pickle and first you bapto it in boiling water. All right. Bapto. All right, in boiling water. Then after you bapto it in boiling water, you baptismo it in a vinegar solution. So what he's saying is there are two different forms of baptism. The first form of baptism, to baptize that pickle, all right, first you put it in boiling water, all right, but that's just a temporary baptism. Because after that, you have to take that same cucumber slash pickle and you have to baptismo it into a vinegar solution. And once you baptismo it into a vinegar solution, it is permanently changed. So you can bapto and then you can baptismo. You know what I mean? Some of us have been dipped, the rest of us have been permanently changed. Come on. Amen. Some of us have been dipped a little, and then some of us have been permanently changed. And our goal tonight is to make sure that everybody in this room is permanently changed. Even if you was baptismo a while ago, but all your vinegar just dried up, it's time for you to get baptismo. Amen. People that don't understand baptism are like, oh my God, I'm so confused. Let's break it down a little bit more. Can we do that? Can you guys be patient with that? Let's look at this. So in order to baptize something, you have to immerse it. Let's say this is us. Okay, we're a vessel. All right. Man, this came from my house. It's a little dirty. Anyway, listen, don't mind that. So embarrassed. All right. So anyway, so you have this vessel, right? And in order to baptize something, you have to completely submerge it in water. Now, the thing about this is every time you see the Holy Spirit move, he always descends. Does he not? All right. He doesn't come up from the earth like some satanic force. He descends. So here we have baptism. Can you guys see over there? Can you guys see? Okay, good. So here we have some baptism taking place. Let's say this is you. You just got saved. You're so excited. And you say, I want to get baptized. Well, what is happening? I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Let's just hypothetically put that out there, all right? What's happening? To baptize something, first, a vessel that's empty, okay? An empty vessel, you just pour. And you continue to pour. And as you're pouring, it's filling. Man, I hope it's enough water. And as it's filling, I should have measured this before I started. You just keep pouring and pouring and pouring. Is that baptized? No. Why? Oh, yeah. That's baptism. Can you see that? Can you see how when someone is baptized in the Holy Ghost, how the Spirit of God, it just continues to fill and rise and rise. And what is it doing? It's pushing out all the hardness in your life, all the mistakes and all the shame and the guilt. All it just begins to push all of that out. And it doesn't stop until it completely just overflows and it begins to saturate your physical body. Now all of a sudden your body starts to change. The things you used to have a craving for, you don't have a craving for anymore. Now all of a sudden the places you used to go, you don't want to go there anymore. Now all of a sudden some people even start speaking in an unknown tongue. Why? Because their body is now affected by the rising of the Spirit of God in them, and even their physical body is drenched. Amen. That's water baptism and baptism in the Holy Ghost. Your whole being is affected by it. Your whole being. All right. Amen. Was that good? Amen. Amen. So let's look at this. Before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all right, from early prophets, cleansing in the temple, to John the Baptist himself, all we had was bapto, all right? Before the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, all we had was a temporary cleansing. That's all we had. When Christ came, now we have baptismo. Now we have baptismo. Look at Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized or baptismo into Jesus Christ, were baptized in his death. Stop right there. What in the world? I thought it was just about water. I'm now being baptized in Christ's death. Excuse me? Listen. See, first you have to understand baptism in the early church was no, it wasn't what we do. It was, yeah, you're 6 years old, baptized, yay. You know, baptism in the early church was more, way more serious than that. Because once that person was baptized, it was a public display. Am I correct? All of our elders in the house say amen. Amen. All right. It was a public display. That meant that once you got baptized, everybody in your town, everybody knew that you were a Christian. That means you couldn't go to the club without somebody saying, aren't you a Christian? That means you couldn't go to the bar and say, ain't you a Christian? That means you couldn't go to your drug dealer, your pharmaceutical salesperson, whatever you call them, and say, ain't you a Christian? Hello. Everybody knew you were a Christian. But more so for them, because this was pretty much death on a platter. They had to realize, once I say I'm a Christian, the government can come and take my house. They could take me to prison. They could lock me up. I could lose my business. I could lose my livelihood as soon as I make this. So by the time they were ready to say, I want to be baptized, they were saying this, I'm being baptized into Christ's death. That my old life, look, not my old way of doing things. My whole life is dead. I no longer live for myself, but I live for whom?
Right. Amen.
That's what water baptism really meant. So, all right, look at verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Do you see that? Now, how do we walk in the newness of life? I know this is interesting. Everybody say amen. How do we do that? I mean, we can preach it. Now, my goal here is to not beat you over the head with a whole bunch of religious words and terminology. All right. I mean, walking in the newness of life, man, the mothers in the church used to tell me that all the time. Baby, you need to walk in the newness of life. Baby, you need to. Okay, great. But I still want to go party. Okay, great. But, you know, he's really cute. I am new. Thank you, Jesus. But you understand what I'm saying? How do we walk in the newness of life? What do we do? Do I have to come to church every day? Would that be the newness of life? Because that sure don't sound like a lot of fun. What do I do to walk in the newness of life? Could someone tell me? Now, listen, here is the key. What we have pretty much just, I mean, disrespected, ran over, ignored, is our key. The Holy Spirit is probably the most disrespected, the most ignored person of the Trinity. We have reduced the Holy Spirit to an unction of goodwill or a feeling of guilt. Or chill bump on our left side, or an emotional frenzy. He's so much more than that. He's so much more than that. He is just as much God as God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. He is not an it. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's not an it. He's a he. He's not an it. He's a he. He is the sole mediator of the new covenant in our hearts. He is my comfort when I'm sorrowful. Amen. He is my joy when I'm depressed and sad. Yeah. My God, he is my oil. Like the high priest had an oil, a horn full of oil. He is the anointing oil that rests over my life. He is the fire in the refiner's furnace. Woo! Do you understand? This is the Holy Ghost we're talking about. Do you see what I'm saying? He is the actual living water in the fountain of life. Woo! He's the Holy Ghost, not to be disrespected nor ignored. So how do we do this? Look at John 3, chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Say amen when you are there. Amen. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the what? Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Look at John 3, verse 7. Marvel not that I say to you,
ye must be born again. Woo!
Can we stop right here for just a second? Look at this. He's saying, in order to enter the kingdom of God, excuse me, you have to be born of water and of spirit. What does that mean? Born of water and of spirit. Now, we understood water baptism. Now, okay, with Christ, we're not baptized as a show to cleanse us, all right? Like in John the Baptist, they were being baptized for repentance sake. We're not being baptized in water for repentance sake. We're being baptized because we are saying that symbolically, I agree that I belong to God and my old self is no longer living. Now I am a new self living for God. That's why we are water baptized. We're saying, I want to tell everybody, every family member, every friend, every person that prayed for me, my grandmama, every demon and satanic force in hell needs to know that I am living for Christ. That's water baptism. And then he goes on to say, you have to be born not just of water, but of spirit. And he says, marvel not that I'm telling you, you have to be born again. Now look at this. This is something interesting here. Because in modern Christianity, can we just be real for a second? Somebody say, be real. Be real. In modern Christianity, we have reduced being born again to getting a second chance. We've reduced being born again to, this time I'm really going to do better. Haven't we? Being born again means that, okay, from now on, I'm really going to start going to church. That's not what being born again means. As a matter of fact, the actual word, born again, that phrase, are you with me? That actual phrase can be translated to mean born anew. Born as from the beginning. Okay, I'll show it to you. Let's go to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis because you're not believing me. Let's go to Genesis, back to the beginning, born anew from the beginning. All right, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. In the beginning, God created the what? And the earth. Good. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the what? Face of the waters. Genesis 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife, whose name was Eve, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. Look at this. That phrase, when it says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, the word spirit is translated to mean wind or breath. That means that when it was forming and the water was there, the Spirit of God was hovering like a wind, like the breath of God over the face of the waters. Right? Now look at this. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, here you see Adam and Eve were in the garden. God created them, you know, from the dust of the earth. All right? Created Eve from his side. You know the story. Yes? So here all of a sudden, they're in the garden, and they have just committed their first sin. Right? They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yes? Okay. So here they ate of this tree, and now here comes God, and the scripture reads, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Underscore that phrase, cool of the day. That phrase, cool of the day, is also translated as wind, spirit, ruach. The same wind, spirit, ruach, that was hovering over the face of the deep now is walking in the garden. Can you see this? Now the ruach of God, the wind of God, the breath of God is walking like he normally does in the garden, coming to talk to Adam and Eve. And what do they do? Because they've sinned. Now, here comes the presence of God. Here comes God. Here comes the Spirit of God amongst them. And his voice begins to call out to them. And they run and hide. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Say amen when you're there. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under the tutors and governors until the time appointed as of the father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Stop right there. So I'm going to show you what we mean here.
So Adam and Eve, they sinned, right? I'm going to ask Debbie to help me. She's been so awesome. Praise him. Give a round of applause for Debbie.
You guys are sweet.
You're like, yeah, we do it, yeah. Amen. Let me show you what happens. So here. Amen. Ha. Thank you. You got to grab the temptation there. Okay. So here's Adam and Eve after they sin. Okay, let's say I'm Adam and Eve. All right. And they have just sinned in the garden. Now, all of a sudden, when the presence of the Lord is coming to find them, to talk to them, like he normally has been communing with them, no big deal, they run and hide. Because of that one act of disobedience, they have now removed the nature of God and substituted it with the sin nature. Can you see that? Of God. So now it seems as if, you're fine right there, come right over there. I'm going to show you what I mean. So now, all of a sudden, the things that we don't want to do, we can't help but to do. We are literally enslaved to sin. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So now, all of a sudden, I don't know about you, but hold on just for a second. This is like a sin, like, okay, it's awful. You're ready. I know she's all excited. I got what I'm supposed to do. Wait a minute. This is my sin, okay? This could be anything. This could be alcohol. This could be pornography. This could be any type of sin, any act of disobedience. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's cheating on your taxes. Maybe it's taking prescription drugs and you really ain't sick. Hello? It could be any. This just happened to be mine. Don't judge me, okay? Don't judge unless you want to be judged. Something, something, something. So here we are, all right, now that we've sinned, we have this new sin nature. And now it's as if, even though I know I'm not, Sister Patricia, come here for a second. Even though I know I'm not supposed to do this, all right? Sister Patricia, you're going to be the law. And all I want you to do is stand right over here so people can see your face, all right? And I want you to just do like this to me. Like this and like this. No, bigger. Yes. She's like, okay, all right, all right. So she represents the law of God. See, once Adam and Eve sinned, God began to give them 10 commandments, right? Later on down the road, Moses came along, they got 10 commandments. This is what you shall not do, should not do. This was the law. So Patricia represents the law. This symphony, Hershey's Bar, represents what I want, all right? Okay, and she's telling me that what? I can't have it. She's telling me you can't have that. Now, I belong to God. I'm the children of Israel, okay? She said, you can't have that, but I want it, and I want it. And I am victim to what the earth elements have. Listen to me. Even though I am pulling for this thing, and she's saying, no, I can't help but to constantly want it because I am enslaved to my own sinful nature. So I constantly want this thing. What am I supposed to do? How do I stop wanting it? And not only is it something that I always want, but now I have the entire earthly world that is pushing on me. Look at this. The word of God says that we are now in bondage to the earthly elements. That means that sometimes there's going to be a famine in the land. Sometimes there's going to be a recession. Sometimes there's going to be a cold or a flu or cancer. Sometimes there's something else in the world that is constantly pushing me. So even when I want to obey God and try not to do it, there's something that is pushing on me, etching me closer and closer, and I have no control over it. The media, pornography, movies, television, music, always pushing me, even when I'm saying, I don't want it anymore. I need to do better. Come on, law. I need to do better. I need to obey. I need to obey. No matter how I try, I'm still pushed. Then comes Christ. Then comes Christ. Brother, could you help me for a second? You don't mind, do you? Oh, amen. He's like, if you said you minded, I didn't know what I was going to do. Stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there. Amen. Oh, we done got water. Praise him. So you're going to stand here. You're going to represent Christ. Face everybody. Amen. So here all of a sudden, thank you. It's okay. Thank you. Amen. All right. Here, oh, you need the water? What in the world? Oh, okay. I said, well, if you need it, sweetheart, don't pass out over it. Amen. I thought it was to me. Burst my bubble. Okay. Okay. All right. So here we have God. And so in the midst of the struggle, come on. In the midst of the struggle, and I'm pushing. Then all of a sudden, here comes a Savior. Psst. Here comes.
here comes a savior, and he literally breaks the chains.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Awesome. Not only does he break the chains, but he takes, you can pull that. Awesome. He removes my sin nature. Do you see that? Go ahead, Sister Deb. Go ahead and get the next one. He removes my sin nature. And instead, give it to him. So now, when I had the nature of God, because if you don't belong to God, you belong to Satan, period. If you're not a child of God, you're a child of Satan, period. No matter how good you are, you're a child of Satan. So now, he's completely thrown away my sin nature, broke the chains of sin and death off of my life, and given me a new nature. Now, all of a sudden, I have the ability, even though it's there, hold it up. Now, all of a sudden, even though the law is telling me you can't have it, all of a sudden, I don't even want it. All I want to do with my new nature is be loved up against God. Now, with my new nature, I don't even want that. All I want to do is be with him and commune with him and talk to him. All of a sudden, my old stuff isn't even what I wanted to be. I want to be the church. I want to talk to you. I want to get to know you. Can I read some of the stuff you wrote? Can you tell me how you got here? How did it all happen? What am I supposed to do with my life now that I have a new nature? You guys stay right there. But it's not over. Let me show you something. It's not over. Look at that same verse in Galatians. Is that Galatians? Uh-huh. Look at Galatians, verse 5. Right there. It says, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the what?
Adoption of sons.
He didn't come just to change my nature. Watch this. He didn't even come just to take me back to the beginning. Because now I'm back like I was in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden. Now when your wind blows, now when I hear your voice, I am running towards you, not away from you. You have redeemed and restored a right relationship, righteousness, yes, with me and you. That's what you did, God. That's awesome. So now that this is done, you think he's finished? Oh, no. He's just getting started. He says, as a matter of fact, now that I have born you anew, now that you've been born again, I want to finish what I started in the garden. Before Satan deceived you, before your life took that turn, before you got divorced, before you started drugs, before you did whatever it was, before you married that crazy little chick, I don't know what the situation is. All I want to do is bring you back to the beginning. And now that I've done that, I'm still not done. Now he says that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Hold that. Now, hold on, let me make sure I'm together here. Oh my goodness! Can you see that? Now, all of a sudden, he said, oh no, I'm not done. I need to make you a son. Come on, somebody bless the name of the Lord. Thank you. I need to make you a son. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. He said, now I need to make you a son. It was one thing. I thought being born again was sufficient. Cleansing me of my sins. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to worry about that no more. Hallelujah. Now me and you can talk. We have fellowship. I'm happy with just that. Now all of a sudden you're telling me you want to make me your son? Look, Jesus Christ was the firstborn of many brethren. We are those brethren. And if you're not saved, you can be those brethren today. So here he is, the firstborn. Now look at this. If I'm a son, that means that I have the same nature as my father. The same nature. The same nature. Who is it that told you? Hey, man, get that off me. Okay. Who is it that told you that you were just human? You know how it is. Can we be real? Oh, you're just human. You're not human. You have God's nature in you. You are supernatural. Now, what are you going to do? You're just flesh and blood. You're going to have needs and urges. You are not flesh. You are born of the Spirit of God. You have a new nature on the inside of you.
Amen. Amen.
But everybody's human. Everybody ain't human.
Come on. Amen.
Whoa, did that just blow your mind? Boom. Everybody ain't human. Some of us have the nature of God administered to us by the Spirit of God because of the blood of his son who became a sacrifice, making us supernatural. So the things you thought were impossible
With God, nothing is what? You thought you couldn't make it another day. With God, nothing is impossible. You thought you couldn't stop smoking? With God, nothing is impossible. You thought you couldn't go back to school? With God, nothing is impossible. You thought that business wasn't going to work out? With God, nothing is impossible. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Thank you, Jesus. Now he wants us to be sons. Look at this. Look at Galatians, same book, same chapter, verse 6. And he says, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Stop right there. Look at this. Because you are sons. Hold on. Let me demonstrate it. Brother, could you come and help me one more time? You were an excellent representation of God. Amen. So he's saying, because you are like this. Okay. Because you are sons. He's saying there is a Spirit of God in you that is crying out, Abba, Father. Don't miss this. Watch very carefully. Look at this. There will be a day, because Christ came and died for the entire world, there is a day of judgment. And because he came to die for the entire world can be judged by him. What do you mean? Some people, it's so wrong that the Buddhist doesn't believe in Jesus, they shouldn't go to hell. If Christ came for the entire world, then the entire world can be judged by him. If he died for all, then all are judged by him. But the Hindu and the Gnostic and you know, those, they don't really, you know, it's all one God. No. If Christ came having no sin, no wrong, and died in order to take all of your sin, then all of us have to stand account for it. Look at this. Here he is. Here's God standing right here on the throne. And all of us are going to come up. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're all going to walk up. We're going to walk up. Come here, Miss Pam. Come here for a second. We're all going to walk up. It's a lot of folk coming in the judgment day. Just millions, trillions, bajillions of people. Just eons and eons of people all walking up. And here it is, my turn to walk up before the Father, because it's my turn on judgment day. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I walk up, and let's just say my crown, you can't see the crown right now, okay? Because I had to cast it, okay? That's beside the point. Listen, so here I am walking, right? And now I'm walking. You're staying right with me. You walk with me. Good. And I'm walking, and it's my turn. And here he is, awesome, all right? So it's like I'm more like this, okay? Because we know him, like, oh, Jesus is so loving. He's a friend. But when you feel the awe-inspiring power of God, you're like this, okay? And now I know it's my turn. And here I am. Here you are, kneeling, humbling. Because now all of a sudden, you have to be judged. And what the Word of God is telling us is that there are two witnesses for your cause. The Word of God is saying there's you, me, that's going to say, God, I'm your son. And I know I don't look like your son. I don't look like your son. I make mistake after mistake after mistake. And it took me so long to get it together. And I remember just before I came up here, I had done something. I know in comparison to how huge this place is. I'm so small and how big you are, but I really am, even though I'm teeny tiny in comparison, I really am your son. And it's hard for me, a mere creation of God, to try to tell God, I am your son. But the Word of God says that there is a Spirit of God that is crying out in me, that is saying, God, she belongs to us. The Spirit of God is crying, Abba, Father, she belongs to us. Woo! Come on and give God some glory. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Now we have the Spirit of God on the inside. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. On the inside of us, saying, she belongs to you. Abba. And that word, it's much speculation. I don't see where it means daddy, but it does mean a word of respect. Dearest father. Most honored and respected father. She belongs to us. Amen? So consider this. consider the amount of dignity that God has graced you with. Look at this. You may be broker than broke. Not a penny to your name. Bank account on negative $155. Lost your job. Don't have a new one yet. Struggling, worrying, oppressed. And God says, in his eyes, you are my son. Look at this honor. You could be just riddled in your body with pain and disease and sickness, but there is an honor and a dignity at the fact that you are the Son of God. Your body may be going through some things. Your heart may be going through some things, but look at the honor that God has given you. He said, you are my son. Look at the angels, Gabriel and Michael, all these huge archangels, massive, huge, linking angels, ministering angels. The heavens are just, the sea is so long and it's glistening in gold and crystal, and all this majesty. And here we are, we're God's children. The angels aren't even considered God. And all of their hugeness and massiveness and all of their servanthood and how obedient they are, they're not even considered sons. But God has ordained that you and I would be considered the sons of God. Woo! Don't miss that. You're walking through thinking, man, this life is so hard. But there sits in you a treasure that this earth can't even fathom. You're saying, God, my knees hurt. My head hurts. I'm tired. But there sits in you a treasure that even the angels marvel at. That if they could, they would envy it. As a matter of fact, Satan himself, as the covering cherub, envied the fact that here he is over the throne of God, controlling all the worship, and God makes us. And then has the audacity to say that these are going to be my sons. That's why Satan is mad. That's why he can't stand you. That's why he presses so hard. That's why he tries to trip you up, because he cannot get over the fact that in God's mercy and grace, he decided to take the foolish thing and make it wise. He decided to take the broken thing and call it his son. He decided to take what you destroyed and make it new again. While you were yet sinners, Christ died. That's the gospel. Can we say amen? Amen? Amen. We are just about finished. Amen. Is that not awesome? Amen. Two more verses and I think we're about done. So Christ, as the firstborn of many brethren, was begotten of the Spirit, so are we. We are not of this world. Why? Because he's not of this world. Okay. Our origin and nature are not here because his were not here. Do you understand that? Amen, amen. Look at Romans 8, 22 through 23. Say amen when you're there. Amen? Amen. Come on, you still with me? Yeah. Amen. 8, 22 through 23. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Look at this. Here the author is saying, the whole creation, that earth that we saw baptized in water, it is groaning and travailing, trying to produce the sons of God, waiting for the day of absolute adoption. And when Christ came, died, rose, and ascended to heaven, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came. Look at Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing, what? Mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Look at this. The whole earth was groaning and moaning, waiting for the adoptions of the sons of God. All of creation, just like a mother is trying to push a baby out, is trying to push out the sons of God. Can you see that? And then Paul is saying, he's saying now, even we are the first fruits of that. We're the first ones to be born of the Spirit.
The disciples, we're the first ones. We are the ones. The apostles, we are the first ones to be born of the Spirit. And even we are still groaning for the day that our bodies are transformed and glorified like his was. So Acts 2 is the day that the day of Pentecost. It's the day where Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit of God will come and rest. And here the disciples are all gathered together on one accord, praying, asking that the Lord God will send his Spirit like he promised. And while they're praying, all of a sudden there is a sound. Somebody say sound. There is a sound of a rushing mighty wind. What is happening here? Do you remember when we talked to Mark about how Jesus, as soon as he was lifted up from the water, straightway the heavens opened? Yes. Now, what's happening to the disciples? Right now, they are sitting here praying, asking for the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, when the firmament rolled back, when the heavens rolled back and revealed the Spirit of the God descending, now the apostles, hundreds of years later, are hearing the sound of heaven open as the Spirit of God is descending on man. They're hearing what Jesus saw when he got out of the water. They're hearing what he saw. He lifted up and saw the heavens open. And now the apostles are hearing that heaven open and roll back as the Spirit of God comes shooting through, baptizing mankind in his Spirit. Why is that necessary? Why is that necessary? It is necessary. Because now, look at what happens right after that. In Acts chapter 2, a couple of verses down, I believe, Jack, is it 2:6? Verse 6, it says, now when this was noised abroad, someone say noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Hallelujah. If we have some, Pastor Dave isn't here. Music, please, as I'm bringing this to a close. So when the Spirit of God descended and the heavens rolled back, now the apostles could hear what they couldn't identify earlier. Do you remember in Galatians it said, the wind blows and you don't even, not in Galatians, Luke, Jesus was saying, the wind is blowing and you don't even know where it's coming from. There's something happening and you can't even tell what's happening. It's like some of us, there's something that God is doing. He is beginning to move and you don't even know where the direction is coming from and where it's going. But the children of God have an ear that is pressing and listening, saying, I feel the presence of God moving in this place. Moving in this place. And what did the Spirit of God do? It anointed them. It rested upon them. And now they spoke in a language that other people, they would not normally be able to communicate the gospel to, could understand. Listen to me. The Word of God says that he gave us power. To everyone that believes, he gives power in John 1:12. Power to become sons. Do you see that in the New Testament? It wasn't that the day of Pentecost was for power so they can do miracles. The disciples were doing miracles when Jesus was walking on the earth. You can cast out a demon at the name of Jesus. Jesus, gone. They didn't get power to do miracles. They didn't need power for that. They needed power to receive the adoption of sonship. Do you understand? Listen, every believer is a son. But I tell you this right now, not every believer is experiencing sonship. Not every one of us in this room is living the life of a son. So on the day of Pentecost, he anointed them, gave them power to experience sonship. Come on, let's stand. Anybody in here want to experience sonship? Is there somebody in here that says, you know, I've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost? And I want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. The Word of God says, if you knowing being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how then can the Heavenly Father, what would he do? How could he give you the gift of the Holy Spirit if you asked? If you know how to give gifts to your kids and you're not even God, then if you would ask God for the Holy Spirit, he will give it to you. Listen to me. We have been deceived in church. We've been thinking, oh, because I said I believe in Jesus, that now I have the sonship. No. You have to ask according to the Word of God. You have to ask for his Spirit. And so all of us, I've just been living and living and living, saying I believe in Jesus, and cannot figure out for the life of me why I'm still going after that candy bar, why I'm still struggling, because you have not asked for the Spirit of God to baptize you. There's nothing to be ashamed about. It's partly our fault as leaders. We've reduced it to an emotion. We made a spectacle of it. But we're supposed to say, Father, baptize me with your Spirit. That's all it is. God, fill me like this. Fill me until your presence overflows and it breaks the chains off of my old nature. Fill me until that happens. Fill me until I am born anew. Now listen, just because you believe in Jesus, that makes you a son. But now what we're talking about is experiencing the benefits of being a son. Who's tired of not experiencing? Come on. Come on, the altar's open. I want to pray with you. Who's tired of not being a son? Who said, you know what? I believe in Jesus, but I need baptism in the Holy Ghost. There's somebody else says, I've been baptized, but I tell you, the time and time again, apostles were always filled over and over again. I've been baptized, but I'm telling you right now, Taliba, I need the presence of God to fill me again. I've been kind of wishy-washy. I've been feeling like giving up. I've been going through some things, and I need the presence of God to fill me that I could commune once again with him. Who is that? Come on down. Come on, we want to pray with you today. If you said, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, but there are gifts of God that I need, and I haven't seen them acted upon. The Word of God says we can lay on of hands to release the gifts in God in your life. Who is that? You don't want to leave. Who is saying that I have never in my life been at a place like I am right now? And I tell you, when I leave here, I don't want to leave here the same. Who is that? I need baptismo to happen in my life. I need baptismo to take place in the name of Jesus, where I am forever changed. I don't want to be saved just trying to keep doing better and doing better and doing better. I need permanent change in my life. Come on, the altar is open.